Now that well over a million gallons of Corexit have been released into the Gulf, both from the site of BP's ruptured well and sprayed from airplanes, we can expect years of debate about whether using dispersants was a wise decision or not. When we're dealing with probabilities and making such an unprecedented response, reasonable minds can reach different conclusions. But over time, as we collect more data in the Gulf, we should be able to learn whether it is easier to clean up oil on the water's surface and on the beaches than it is after it's been widely dispersed. At what point does dilution make the oil weak enough to offset the vastly increased amount of water it's contaminating and the greater difficulties in removing it from the environment? EPA research indicates that oil is more toxic than dispersants, including Corexit, and that for the most part, dispersants plus oil are no more toxic than oil alone. But in my mind, the debate is only tangentially about the toxicity of the dispersant and more fundamentally about where the dispersed oil goes. My focus, of course, is on birds, and it's virtually certain that many more birds would have been conspicuously oiled at this point in time if no dispersants had been used. But because the level of use of dispersants in this spill is unprecedented, we have no idea what the long-term effects will be on either the Gulf ecosystem or on the birds that depend on it. Had the oil all surfaced at the point of the blowout, booms would have been more effective at containing it and skimmers more effective at pulling at least a lot of it out. But without dispersants, more thick crude would have contaminated beaches. With dispersants, the oil is breaking up into tinier droplets that can stay within the water column much longer before floating up to the top in slicks or sinking into the bottom muck. We don't know how plumes of oil are acting beneath the surface, nor whether the bulk of oil will ultimately float to the top to evaporate, sink to the bottom to contaminate bottom feeding animals, or remain within the water column indefinitely. We don't know how dispersed droplets in the water column might affect a loon or pelican diving through a plume. We don't know how long dispersed oil will be washing onto beaches, nor at what concentrations this dispersed oil will be, nor whether it's likely to reduce numbers of the tiny creatures that sandpipers and other birds eat. There is far more that we don't know than what we do know. The Gulf of Mexico promises to be a rich source of research projects for decades to come. It's too late to retract the decision to use dispersants to deal with this crisis, but it's essential that we carefully and objectively evaluate data to figure out whether using the dispersants really was the lesser of two evils. Exxon and a team of other companies are working right now to develop a sounder response for dealing with future oil spills in the Gulf. But in future spills, the Coast Guard, the EPA, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Centers for Disease Control should be making these decisions, uninfluenced by the desires of the corporation that caused the disaster in the first place, especially when that corporation has a vested interest in minimizing the appearance of the disaster. Bird deaths from starvation are not as conspicuous or gruesome as bird deaths from heavy oiling, but the bird suffering may well be as great. And depending on how plumes of dispersed oil act, we may be seeing oil diving birds for weeks, months, years, or even decades to come. The final decision on whether dispersants are an appropriate way to respond to an oil spill in the future should be based on doing the greatest good for the entire ecosystem, from plankton and shrimp to birds and dolphins. Experimenting with dispersants in such a precious body of water when the stakes are so very high may or may not prove to have been justifiable. But a sound long-term investigation of the results will at least help us make future decisions based on knowledge rather than guesses. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.